The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume this evening in Genesis 31, where we'll pick up at the block of verses, exegesis of the verses 38 through 42. All right, give you opportunity to make sure that you're in fellowship, that your mind is right, as the warden might say, before God, that you are predisposed in regards to your commitment in the assimilation of Bible doctrine to apprehend it, undistorted by the sin nature, and therefore advance yourself in your thinking, as well as building the continued confidence in regards to your Christian life and knowing the truth, so that we can effectively serve God in action with honor, rather than as the religious reversions out there spinning their wheels, blind to their sins, and in reality all is vanity for them and their whole religious pursuit. We want to make sure our time counts, obviously, especially for our eternal disposition. So it demands that we're in fellowship in order for this to make this possible. So with that in mind, I will give you opportunity to rebound as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for this local church, Positive Volition here, in support regards to this local church, that we can enjoy our fellowship, not only with one another, but with you in this capacity once again this evening. That you bless us, prosper us in regards to our soul and human spirits, in regards to the information at hand once again this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Laban's searched all the main party's tents, come up empty-handed in regards to finding the idols that, yes, they were stolen from him. But God jams him in regards to his search for these things. And after 20 years of essentially keeping his tongue bridled, we see Jacob has now had enough, and he expresses his frustration over the whole deal with righteous indignation. Apart from his retort to his uncle on the switch of his wives, you see nothing really in regards to Jacob taking issue in regards to all that his uncle Laban has done, all the malfeasance and sins that he's been involved with otherwise. But enough is enough. And beginning in verse 37, basically, we have the righteous indignation coming out. While all of it, through verse 42, is in the form of rebuke, we recognize the dual thread of thought that is intertwined in regards to this passage. And that is that it's not only a criminal sin, malfeasance, that is in question here, but also spiritual malfeasance. And Laban has, through innuendo, accused Jacob not only of being a criminal, but also spiritually delinquent in his own right, this to try to make himself look good before his kinsmen. And while it is all, if you will, a rebuke, per se, the first two verses come dripping with sanctified sarcasm, and the emphasis in his words in that respect is to clear his reputation legally of not being a criminal. And while it does appeal to both the spiritual as well as the legal aspects of it, The emphasis is obviously in regards to the fact that no household goods of Laban have been found, not even one thing in regards to their search. Therefore, let the kinsman judge between us in regards to who's innocent and who's guilty legally in that respect. So now, continuing on here in verses 38 and 42, this is really the more direct rebuke that Jacob brings upon Laban, and that will center around, if you will, the spiritual slander that's been levied against him by his uncle. Looking here in the Hebrew, in these block of verses, these 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. So we're given a chronological notation now. The time that Jacob has altogether spent in Padan Aram, these 20 years, you have the adjective masculine singular zeh, these, Z-E-H, followed with our number 20 adjective, both plural absolute, eserim, E-S-E-R-I-Y-M. Years is your common feminine singular noun, absolute, Shana, S-H-N-A-N-A-H. I with you, literally in the Hebrew, emphatic. You had the first pronoun, first person pronoun, first common singular, Anoki, I myself. A-N-O-K-I-Y. Plus your preposition im with the second feminine singular suffix im, I myself with you. And he now recounts his work with him. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, first and foremost. Our noun for ewes here is a common feminine plural constructed with the second masculine singular suffix, Rachel or Raquel, R-A-C-H-E-L, and, while conjunction, then female goats is your common feminine plural constructed with the second masculine singular suffix, ets, E-T-S. Have not miscarried. You had the negative particle, lo, L-O, plus the P-L verb. Perfect third common plural literally means to make childless, obviously, for an animal. It's not a child, but is they're bearing is shakel, S-H-A-K-A-L. Hence, miscarried is the idea. Nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. While conjunction, followed the common masculine plural construct noun, our word for rams is ayil, A-Y-I-L. Rams of your flock is your noun tison, T-S-O-N, common feminine singular construct, second masculine singular suffix. And then I have not eaten is your negative particle lo, L-O, repeated, here with the verb cal, perfect first common singular, a call. A-K-A-L, to eat or consume. Verse 39, he continues, that which was torn of beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. That torn of beasts is the common feminine singular noun absolute, therapha, T-H-E-R-E-P-H-A-H. The animal torn by beasts is used nine times, always translated in that way. I did not bring to you, negative particle lo, again repeated, L-O. Then our word to bring to is the hifil, cause to bring, perfect first common singular, bo, B-O. Followed with the preposition L with the second masculine singular suffix, E-L. I did not cause to come or bring to you. Again, the emphatic use of the first pronoun, Anoki, first common singular, A-N-O-K-I-Y. I myself bore the loss of it, literally. To bear the loss is the PL form of the verb imperfect first common singular with the third feminine singular suffix, chatha, C-H-A-T-H-A. Literally means missed away or sin. Hence, absorb the offense, as it might be translated, bore the loss of it. You required it of my hand, stolen by day or stolen by night. Preposition men, from, then followed with our noun for hand, common feminine singular construct, first common singular suffix yad, Y-A-D. you required it is the PL, imperfect second masculine singular with third feminine singular suffix, bakash, B-A-Q-A-S-H, utterly required it or completely required it without issue otherwise. Stolen by day or stolen by night. Here we have our verb finally being translated correctly. The cal passive form of the participle verb feminine singular construct ganav, to steal, G-A-N-A-B. By day, and that being stolen by night. By day is the common masculine singular absolute noun yom, Y-O-M. While conjunction, then the participle ganav repeated. Again, in the same form, cal passive participle feminine singular. That being stolen by night is your noun la yela, common masculine singular absolute, L A Y E L A H. Verse 40. The New American Standard, thus I was. In a Hebrew literary, you had the cal perfect first common singular verb haya, H-A-Y-A-H. It came to pass. By the day the heat consumed me, and the frost by night. By the day, in the day, preposition bet, definite article, then our noun yom, repeated, common masculine singular absolute, Y-O-M. It consumed me is your cal perfect third masculine singular first common singular suffix again or a call A-K-A-L. The heat common masculine singular noun absolute korib C-H-O-R-E-B that literally means to be dry. And the frost in the night, in the Hebrew, while conjunction. Then our noun for frost is the common masculine singular absolute, kerach, Q-E-R-A-C-H, kerach. By night or in the night, preposition bet. Definite article, then la yela, repeated, common masculine singular absolute. In the sleep, fled from my eyes. First you had the noun, while the conjunction while consecutive, then the verb to flee, the cal imperfect third feminine singular, nadad, N-A-D-A-D, nadav, and it fled, my sleep, from my eyes, literally. Common feminine singular construct noun with the first common singular suffix. Our word for sleep, my sleep, shana, S-H-E-N-A-H, from my eyes, preposition men. Then our noun for eyes, common both dual construct with the first common singular suffix, ayin, A-Y-I-N. Verse 41. Again, he emphasizes the length of time he spent with his uncle. These 20 years, I have been in your house. Adjective ze, masculine singer, Z-H again, these. Then you have the preposition lamed with the first common singer suffix, these for me, 20 years, literally. Again, our adjective eserim, both plural absolute, follow with our noun shana, years, common feminine singular absolute. In your house is preposition bet, follow with our noun for house or household. However, you may translate it, common masculine singular construct, second masculine singular suffix, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. Our verb, I have served, is the cow perfect first common singular, avad, A-B-A-D, avad. 14 is the two numbers 4 and 10, the first adjective, cardinal adjective, feminine singular absolute, reba, R-E-B-B-A, 4, plus then the adjective, feminine singular absolute, 10, esera, E-S-E-R-E-H. Years, again, shana, common feminine singular, absolute. Here, the 14 is for your two daughters, for the two of your daughters in the Hebrew, preposition bet, followed with our adjective number 2, the feminine dual construct, shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. Your daughters, common feminine plural construct, with the second masculine singular suffix, bath, B-A-T-H. And 6, vowel conjunction. Our number 6 is the adjective feminine singular construct, shesh, S-H-E-S-H. Years, shana, repeated, common feminine plural absolute. For your flock, preposition bet, common feminine singular construct noun with the second masculine singular suffix tason, flock, T-S-O-N. And you change my wages 10 times. While consecutive, then our verb to change is the hifil, causative, imperfect second masculine singular chalaph, C-H-A-L-A-P-H. You have cause to change. Then you have to sign a direct object, follow with our noun, common feminine singular construct, first common singular suffix, wages, nesekoreth, M-A-S-E-K-K-O-R-E-T-H, nesekoreth, 10 times. You have your adjective, feminine singular construct, asara, 10. Then counts, literally, or times, is the common masculine plural absolute, monet. Count de monet. De money. M-O-N-E-H, if you like that kind of movie. Verse 41. Or 42. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been for me, surely now you have sent me away empty-handed. Conjunction, first conjunction is lule, L-U-L-E, if not or unless. Then our noun for God, common masculine plural, construct Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. Proper noun Abraham, the God of Abraham. Or God of my father, excuse me, the first one, first noun is father, Ab, A-B, the God of my father, common masculine singular construct, first common singular suffix, then God repeated Elohim, then followed with the proper noun, Abraham. And then he presents it as, wow, conjunction, the fear of, and the fear of Isaac. Fear is the common masculine singular noun construct, pakad, P-A-C-H-A-D, follow the proper noun, Isaac. Had not been for me. You had the cow, perfect third masculine singer, Hayah. H-A-Y-A-H, came to be or became for me is the preposition lama, the first common singular suffix. That you would have sent me away empty-handed. Surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. You have the conjunction ki, first of all, K-I-Y, that, followed with the adverb now, ata, A-T-T-A-H. Then our word empty-handed is a preposition rekam, R-E-Y-Q-A-N, emptily, hence empty-handed. You have sent me away. That's your Hebrew, literal Hebrew order. To send away is a PL, perfect second masculine singular, first common singular, shalak, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. God has seen my affliction and toil my hands, so he rendered judgment last night. In the Hebrew verse, you had the preposition eth, E-T-H, followed with the common masculine singular construct noun with the first common singular suffix, ani, our word for affliction or oppression, A-N-I-Y, with my affliction or with my oppression, and with the toil of my hands. This is the Hebrew word order, wow conjunction. Again, our preposition eth, E-T-H, followed with the common masculine singular construct, our word for toil, yagiya, Y-E-G-I-Y-A. Then my hands here is the common feminine dual construct noun with the first common singular suffix, kaph, K-A-P-H, literally the palm of the hand. My hands. Then the Hebrew says, God saw. The first is a verb to see, cal perfect verb, masculine singular, ra'ah, R-A-A-H, he saw, that being God, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. And he rendered, or so he rendered, judgment last night. To render judgment is the verb, hifil, in perfect third masculine singular, with the preceding wow consecutive, yakak, Y-A-K-A-C-H. Last night is your adverb, emesh. Literally means yesterday. We know it was in the nighttime, evening, E-M-E-S-H. All right, rereading the verses here. These 20 years, verse 38, I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn of beasts, the animals torn by beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the offense or loss of it myself. You required it of my hand, stolen by day or stolen by night. Verse 40, it came to pass. And hence his state of being during this time. By day the heat, dryness consumed me, and by the frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. Verse 41, these 20 years, I have been in your house, in your household. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. 42, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been for me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction, the toil of my hands, so he rendered judgment last night. All right, analysis of verses 38 through 42. One, along with the criminal accusation of theft, Laban characterized Jacob as a believer not to be trusted, antagonistic to others, pursuing a self-centered agenda at the expense of others. the implications, innuendos, etc., outright accusations, that it couldn't be trusted, insinuated in leaving secretly, fleeing secretly, verse 27, stealing from him, etc., antagonistic to others, the aggressive aspect of Jacob carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword, stealing from Laban, and also verse 28, did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now ye have acted foolishly. So, no compassion, see. And then pursuing a self-centered agenda at the expense of others is seen in the proper tone of verse 38 in the condescending or sarcastic final closure before the direct accusations. And now you have indeed gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. That's what it's all about. See. So too, in other words, Jacob was a reversionist, lacking sound moral and ethical character by the innuendos. Not just a thief, but he is labeling Jacob what he himself is. So three, we know Laban was a self-righteous religious reversionist that sought to build his own righteousness on the perceived unrighteousness of others. In other words, to appear spiritually superior. There are those kind of people that they have to feel always superior to others, that they're somehow better. And one way that people do this is they zero in on other people's imperfections, and they make that the issue of conversation, something that they themselves say they're free of. And hence, it is known as building one's righteousness on another person's unrighteousness. We're not supposed to do that. That is not how you build your righteousness on other people's failures. You build your righteousness on your own spiritual successes. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else is doing. So, Laban is this premier example of this religious believing reversionist. I can't overstate, he's a believer, see. This is to give us ammunition in regards to being able to defend ourselves out there in Satan's world where Christianity is being flown as a banner, but yet is being grossly misrepresented by denominationalism and things of this nature. Other types of religious reversionists. And these people, they are self-righteous. They love to point out the faults of others and extol their great spiritual successes otherwise, supposedly, in their eyes. And that is, it makes them look important, see. We are not to exalt ourselves. We let God exalt us. See. If God wants us be seen as being important, to pour accolades and things of this nature, that's his business. But in our society, obviously, the dog-eat-dog type of mentality, you got to climb a corporate ladder and you beat your own chest, see. And obviously, we see this as it basically permeates, it stinks. In regards to how people act that do have positions of power otherwise often. So, Jacob is being contrasted now, contrasting himself to Laban, who is this type of reversionist, and he's tried to, in his own way, label Jacob as being a spiritual derelict. So for this is the distinct contrast between the two men and their beliefs. As one, that being Laban, seeks to transfer his own unrighteousness to another for the sake of gain or saving face. To look good, the crust of godliness, as Paul puts it in Timothy, different ways of expressing it. but it all basically centers on the same thing, superiority. And to disregard one's own unrighteous activities and simply point to other people's imperfections, their own failures, rather than truly zeroing in on your own person to grow spiritually, that demands that you first and foremost critique the hell out of yourself. If you don't have your spiritual act together, then what kind, truly, of judge, critique are you of others? If you are dismissing your own failures, your own shortcomings in life, this robs the approach in regards to judging righteously versus appearance you will lack compassion. You will lack grace. You won't give deeper consideration other than the apparent offenses, see. So that's all very shallow. And thank God, God doesn't look at us that way. He's not shallow at all. He investigates us to the very depths of our heart. He knows what makes each and every one of us tick and every aspect of our lives. And that's how He evaluates. That's how He critiques. That's how He responds to us. But here, we're definitely being given a resume of the religious reversionists as they might deal with somebody else who is otherwise adjusted and positive to the truth in contrast to them. So five, that which characterizes the believer's reputation can always be based on a single incident or unsubstantiated claim or claims otherwise. All the innuendos that Laban laid upon Jacob were just that, innuendos, implications. They weren't facts. He had no proof of these things. It's just how he twisted the story to make it look, see. He twisted it to make it look like he ran off with his daughters like a prisoner of war and forcing them out of there. And obviously, the reader knows what really happened. So we're given that insight so that we can have an appreciation and actually critique truly the unrighteousness that's going on by Laban. And when it comes to characterizing believers, we got to have that balance of equity and fairness and seeking to look at all the facts and look at the whole story rather than any just knee-jerk reactions in regards to people if you will, pass judgment on their spiritual life overall. And we all stumble in many ways. But what have we done over the years? That's the question. And you can see where Jacob's going to be coming from. These 20 years. What's it been like over 20 years? You accuse me of this one essential thing, etc. And with all the other innuendos. So let's take a look at our lives in our commitment to doctrine or not. See, that's the idea that's coming across here. And it's over time. Yeah, we all will make our mistakes, but then you have those who hang in there, who apply at a very high level on a regular and consistent basis. And fortunately, God's going to judge us overall in regards to our life, and not just incidental in regards to other aspects, whether good or bad. See, how you do one good, a divine good thing, yeah, you'll get your reward. But it doesn't mean you're going to get the prize. No, that takes consistency. That takes perseverance. That takes a commitment. See, so you can't just always write people off because of one infraction. Now, it may be that they carry it on and they continue on with it and they're not willing to repent, blah, blah, blah. We understand that. But this whole idea that's being emphasized here by Laban is that he can critique Jacob based on just this one incident of deserting Haran and moving on. Seven, it is this insight that Jacob appeals to as he begins to directly rebuke Laban then in verses 38 through 42, that you've got to look at the overall life of an individual to truly and accurately portray their character. Eight, the opening phrase, "These 20 years I have been with you," provides ample time for anyone to ascertain any distinctions of character flaws between Jacob and Laban. Remember, they have all the kinsmen there as witnesses to all this. 20 years I've been with you, Zeth, Esarim, Shinah, Anoki, Em, are the cardinal adjectives used in these verses. 20, 14, 6, 2, a bunch of numbers. You learn your Hebrew numbers here in a matter of two verses almost. Nine, the listeners and readers, obviously, are to determine for themselves the moral integrity of these two believers. Ten, Jacob will first defend himself in verse 38 through 40, and then expose Laban's transgression and evidence of his reversionism in verses 41 through 42. So we're seeing an approach and a proper approach, and one defending oneself against slanderous accusations otherwise. And first, Jacob will zero in on his own ethical standards that can be looked upon and checked in regard to his resume, his history of being with Laban. And then he'll turn around and you want to report a crime? How about fraud? Changing wages 10 times. They say you're going to work for you for one deal, and then they change your change it, see. But anyway. Laban, Jacob appeals to his work ethics as proof of his moral integrity, as he was not a laborer working just for appearance sake, but gave 110%. You want to say 100%? That's fine. And I'll exaggerate a little bit there. But based on his critique of his own work and what he brings out, he really does go over and beyond. And that's what you can expect from an adjusted believer living in Satan's world when you compare it to the norm. See, when you compare it to the norm. The norm is, I'm not getting paid enough. I'm going to protest and walk a line and all these other things, you know. And badmouth my employer and all these other things. Because I'm not getting the benefits that I want. How Satan has turned this whole world on its ear in our society in regards to employment. And you can think, in a great part, the organization, the unions. Oh, it started off innocent enough to protect the children. A parent wants to put their child to work, that's their business. Anyway, you know, yeah, you got jackasses out there. You know, and they'll take advantage. You don't think God doesn't see it? There's other ways to deal with this. But anyway, I know people are big union people. So I don't care how you slice or dice it. The company belongs to the owners. They don't belong to the employees unless the owner gives the employee, a contractual share of it. Anyway, most of us know this. This is not any new realization of doctrine versus human viewpoint. But the norm, see, we're dealing with the norm of society. people don't get their way, or the job becomes a little too tough for them, or over and beyond, start moaning and groaning and complaining about it, rather than just rolling up their sleeves and digging in and doing their job as unto the Lord. Even if they are being abused. It's where God wants you at for a reason. And that reason is to be a witness in life. And maybe that witness is put up with certain kind of abuses. I don't know that. As a pastor, that's the way it is. That's a joke. Just see if anybody's still awake. All right. So Jacob appeals first to his work ethics, point 11, as proof of his moral integrity, as he was not a laborer working just for appearance sake, but gave 110%. 12, this explains in part Jacob's work ethics, why God blessed Jacob to such a high degree, and why Laban originally reaped the reward and blessing by association. Laban recognized that since Jacob's arrival, his asset portfolio risen considerably, and he recognized through his supposed divination, you know, that God was using Jacob to bless him in his eyes. So. Well, why did God bless Jacob like that? Was it just because? No, it's because Jacob was fastidious in regards to his work ethics. And hence, why Laban enjoyed the prosperity, even as temporary as it might have been in that regard. So 13, now first on the list was with the advent, the coming of Jacob, managing Laban's livestock, there was a very low incident, or none, if you take it completely literally, of animals miscarrying. In the phrase, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried. Rachel, Raquel, Wow, Etz, Lo, Shekal. 14, this is to be attributed to Jacob's care of the females during pregnancy and birthing, and God blessing his efforts. To miscarry, to lose the lamb, if it might be, or the goat, the baby goat. As with any livestock, there's always that risk. Births coming out breached, cattle coming out of cattle country. That's all the pictures I've seen mostly. Not much of sheep in that regard. But to lose livestock because of that, or the conditions, the environmental conditions are not conducive. Things of that nature. But here, Jacob, if you will, gives a sanctified brag in regards to his success in the birthing process of all the offspring of Laban's flocks. And this is due to the fact, obviously, of Jacob being Johnny on the spot and all these things, and recognizing God blessing his efforts. Again, overstate how important it is to pray to God in all things on your job and otherwise. Even if it's just a quick making sure you're in fellowship and God bless me, you know, knowing that what you're getting ready to do. And then put your mind to the task. So 15, this suggests compassion and mercy that Jacob has for living creatures. Now we saw earlier the idea that Laban was not so kind to his livestock. That it was a good thing, as the wives brought out, in regards to them not falling in the hands of Laban after the fact. So all this suggests that he was a good steward of God's creation. And in the animal world, it demands compassion, mercy, to want to help the living things. Colossians 3:12, compassion and mercy are two assets, two attributes that the positive believer is to garnish and to wear in regards to their witness. Colossians 3:12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Especially, obviously, with one another. Well, Laban's tried to paint him as being uncompassionate. Not really caring about other people's feelings. His feelings, in particular. 16, it reflected the virtue of servitude in application to ensure maximum production of livestock belonging to his uncle. Be there, that meant that he had to keep tabs of the pregnant ewes, pregnant female goats, to be able to anticipate their birth. I mean, they're out there in the open. And to ensure that there is an environment conducive for the birth to take place as safely as possible. And to be there and to assist in any abnormality in regards to these things. And that's quite a statement. You figure over all these years, 20 years that he's been taking care of the livestock at Laban's place, that there's been no miscarries. That's why I say next to none or none. So that just tells you how determined and how focused this believer was, Jacob, in regards to doing his job. And it shows intentions, or a sense at least, that he wants the best for his uncle in his productivity on his behalf and fulfillment of his contracts. 17, Laban obviously would have been the first to notice this dramatic change during the Jacob years. So we throw that out because as he's rebuking Jacob, Laban, you know, in his mind. Yeah. 18, and before any might say that it was for appearance sake, add to the fact that Jacob never slaughtered any of the rams, even when his own family might have been struggling. Or Hebrew, ayil, rams. Nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. So some may just simply say he was trying to brown nose, trying to look good. Well, here's a method of sacrifice on his part, or a show of at least of integrity on his part, that definitely goes over and beyond what you find in the norm. And Jacob was a very honest person. He held his virtue of honesty in high regard and in importance in regards to presenting it to others in his life and his lifestyle, in his modus operandi and vivendi, method of operation, and his manner of life. Even though, obviously, he's had his times already himself, but he's grown to appreciate this as he deceived his father, etc., and his brother. So 19, a missing ram here and there might not be noticed in a large flock of sheep and goats. So one missing here and there might not be noticed, but Jacob did not succumb to temptation, showing he didn't even stoop to pilfering from Laban. On the other end of the coin, it shows the accountant mentality that Laban had in regards to his possessions. He was his own personal bean counter. Jacob brings this out, tells me at least, that Laban was constantly out there checking those numbers.
how much money am I making today? You know, how much have I lost today or whatever?
And an easy area, obviously, if there was not enough food on the table or whatever, maybe to pilfer a ram. And it's something that you got to think about. You know, there is that, I've seen it in the workplace, and it's grown worse over the years, at least the latter years that I was out in the world working in that industry, pilfering was somehow, to a certain degree, all right. No, it's not. I don't care if it's a pen or if it's a staple. If you're taking it from your employer, it's stealing, unless they've given you permission to do so. That's why I always call my boss. Can I take this pen? Or can I drive your car, your company car, for vacation? And every time I asked, he said, yeah. And one time I didn't, and I got in all kinds of trouble, deservedly. See. But anyway, you learn. Live and learn. So Jacob did not even cop a little fresh meat here and there to subsidize his own household. 20, it shows that Jacob's intentions were pure. That speaks loudly in regards to his intentions of why he's doing what he's doing. No, it's not just to look good. He's grown to have a pure heart. He's as I've stated and tried to bring out, he's grown over these years spiritually. And he's now developing into the type of spiritual personality that one would expect to become an heir of the covenant. On Laban's part, the other side of the coin, there is no mention of him having otherwise offered any assistance to benefit his daughters and grandchildren, even in the 7 years that Jacob's family growing in leaps and bounds. In 7 years, all of a sudden, there was 12 more mouths to feed in that house. That's how many kids my grandparents on my mom's side had. 12 kids. Oh, it was always fun at family reunions. Well, kind of. When your uncles are bigger than you are, you pay the price. But anyway, that's a lot of people. I can remember going out, and my grandmother, she literally cooked from sunup to sundown. I mean, she has some other little chores. She'd get an hour in there in the afternoon sometimes, et cetera, et cetera. But when I was there, it seems like she was always cooking. Nothing that smells any worse than a wet chicken feathers being plucked from a chicken. And you didn't hear my aunts and uncles complaining in regards to some of the little quills that might be stuck in that fried chicken otherwise. I was spoiled. I go, what's this? That's the way life is when you're farming and you're trying to support yourself off the ground. Or it can be. And we don't see any, there's no mention, and I'm not going to say he didn't help one iota, but there's no mention of him providing any assistance. In fact, this whole language leads you to conclude that basically he just left Jacob on his own. Either he sunk or he swam on his own. And he wasn't going to share his profit with him. He's there to suck every penny out of Jacob he can get. You got people like that. He was a stingy, miserly believer. And we know what the Bible thinks about that. The adjusted believer is completely the opposite. Now God blesses for a reason, and that is to make application. And application often comes in the form of assisting others who may not be blessed in that degree. Doesn't mean that they're anything less spiritually, any more than it means a rich person is greater spiritually. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Now, I got it made. God can yank that out pretty damn quick when he feels like it. Whatever savings one may have built up, to put your stock in that. Now, you better put your faith and your trust in regards to God. I've had my own experiences of loss in investments, great losses, just because of turn of a coin. Some industry, things start going different. And all of a sudden you've lost 10 grand that you had built up, you know. We don't have to put our faith in these things. And when God does bless us, we are to use these things wisely and use it for the purpose of divine gift production. And the first priority in divine gift production and helping is to help one another in regards to our own household. Then if God blesses us corporately otherwise, then we can reach out and extend it to others as appropriate. Instruct them to do good, verse 8, to be rich in good works, to be eager to give, and generous. That is, for storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take a hold of that which is life indeed. SG3. It's all about divine good production. All that God provides for us, our tests, our spiritual matriculation, our blessings, all this is about divine good production. To take advantage of it. And a lot of that, obviously, we get to enjoy ourselves. May fix a meal to apply hospitality, a great meal to apply hospitality to others, and you get to sit down and enjoy the meal. You say, all right, yeah, that's fine. We understand that. But still, it's about divine good production. Make sure you're in fellowship when you do it. See? And recognize that being stingy is not to going to advance you in regards to God's plan for your life or having these things. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, can you enlighten us these things in Jesus' name, amen.